Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this privilege, oh God, to come together. And Father, we just pray for those who couldn't be here, Lord, people on vacation, people visiting family overseas. But Father, we just ask that they might be able to tune in with us, Lord, because the word which you have for us is just so vital for this hour. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us get ourselves ready, Lord, get out of the way so that your Holy Spirit, your presence, oh God, might live our lives for us and preach, Lord, through these lips. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, this morning, actually, this is not number 51, it's number 49. I had three sermons juggling this morning to see which one I really felt led to preach. I've got a series on the breastplate of Aaron versus the breastplate of Lucifer. And I have the beginning of that which would be tonight's sermon, is Satan is a preacher, and just taking some things Brother Branham has to say in Satan's Eden. And then we have the yesterday's meeting, and I was going to maybe put off yesterday's meeting till next week, but I just felt led this morning to go through it. I was able to cut down some things and make it so that we'll be able to get in and out. All right, so the questions that we had yesterday, we had 20 ministers, brethren from around the world, 9 countries, and we had brothers from India and Burkina Faso and all over South America, and from just different places. So anyway, the first question was, does the foolish virgin come only from the followers of the message, or does she come from the denominations? In other words, are there also foolish virgins within the denominations? And there was, you know, they have a minister's quorum in South America where they get together and they discuss things, and they had a debate going on whether it's just the message people, or if it's people from denominations only, or if it's people from denominations or the message. And so that's kind of the question, is, you know, does the foolish virgin come from followers of the message, okay, or from denominations? So my answer there's only 3 quotes where Brother Branham used the word foolish virgin and denomination in the same sentence. But the way that he used it could be applied to the message churches that have denominated around chosen creeds of that church. All right. Now, we have denominations right among us in what we call the message. I want to just clarify, I do not believe that everybody that claims to believe the message is a message believer. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But the reason for that is, Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare him that he's here. That's the message. Anything outside of that, they're not message. Now, they might hang the shingle of Malachi 4. They might claim God sent a prophet. And so did 2 million people that perished in the wilderness in Moses' day. Those people were baptized under the cloud, Paul says. They followed the pillar of fire. They followed the prophet. And they're lost. So don't tell me that there's a thing called the message, or that there's a denomination called the message. If you believe that, you're a denominational thinking. There's the word. And the word was to introduce us to Christ, the word. And so, you know, churches that say, well, we're a message church, you're a denomination. I'm sorry. This is not a message church. This is a believer in the prophet of Malachi 4 and what he had to say. All right? I'm not lining myself up with all these people, because there's a lot of people out there that believe all kinds of things that the prophet didn't say. And I'm not in oneness with that. I'm in oneness with God and his word. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but that's the way I have to do it, because I'm following the pillar of fire. I'm not following William Branham. I'm not following, you know, a quote-unquote a denomination called the message. I'm following the pillar of fire and the things that he said through a vindicated prophet. All right. So, from Seach and up here with the shepherd, Brother Branham said, now, Now there, what troubles me at this hour is knowing that we see all these denominations pulling into this what we know to be what you call the latter rain or the pouring out of the Spirit. Do you realize that Jesus said that would come to pass? It would be when that would come to pass would be the end. When the foolish virgin and the wise virgin was not heirs together, for the foolish virgin, she was a virgin, just lacking oil. But when she come to buy oil, it was at that time that the bridegroom came. All right? See, most people don't even know who the bridegroom is. And she was left out while she was trying to buy oil. You understand, I want that to soak in real good. Now, surely I won't have to move that subject any further. Now, neither can this the spiritual and the natural be heirs together. Okay, so this last statement is the key. Neither can the spiritual and the natural be heirs together. Meaning that the natural ones, which are those who have not been born of the Spirit of God, and those with the Spirit of God cannot be joint heirs with Christ. You see, you've got to be born into the family to have inheritance. It's not given out to strangers. All right. In a sermon, Faithful Abraham, Brother Brad said, now the church that professes to be a Christian church, here's the thing, that professes to be a Christian church will have to have the same spirit that was in Jesus Christ. For at the resurrection of the church, Christ and his bride will come together and dovetail. The writings and promises of God will be made fulfilled there. So it cannot come together unless the same spirit was in Christ as in you and me. And then if that same spirit is in there, it'll do the same works and live the same kind of a separated life and do the works that he did. The Bible says so all the way to Genesis confirms it. Okay? And from conflict between God and Satan. Fire is a confirmation of the light coming from the Word. They will fill it. Now the smart virgin, the wise virgin, had oil in her lamps, and she trimmed her lamp and lit it. Now, what is it? Now, God is the Word, and the oil is the Spirit, and the fire is the gospel light on that oil. Amen. God says so. See, that's the vessel. That's all right. The oil is in the vessel. You see, there's a difference between the vessel and the lamp. Okay? Remember, it says that they didn't have oil in their lamp. They had oil in their vessel. That's you. You have to have oil. You have to have the Holy Ghost in you for the Word, the lamp, which is the lamp, for the lamp to light up. Because otherwise you're just reading a book. You know, well, I read the Bible three times. Well, so what? What did you get from it? You know? And so the foolish virgin, you know, they trimmed the lamp just like they went through their Bible just like the bride did, but they didn't have any oil to understand, okay? So the oil is in the vessel, and the fire burning it shows that that it's reflecting the light of what the Word said. See? That's the reflection. Now, the wise virgin could do that, but that other, the foolish virgin, was on the outside and had no oil. And they couldn't reflect nothing but just their church and their denomination. See, now, and you say the Word. You said the Word was Spirit. Yes, sir. God said, my Word is Spirit. That's right. The true bride must be unified by the Word, not by claiming to believe a prophet came, and so you believe the message. No. Do you believe the Word or do you not believe the Word? Period. Now, remember, if she is part of Christ, she has to be the Word of Christ. In order to be the Word of Christ, you have to be baptized into Christ. And when you're in Christ, you believe Christ, and Christ is the Word. Amen, amen, amen. Do you believe it? Okay, again, from the 10 virgins, he said, now, there was the virgins went out to meet him, and the foolish virgins now did not have oil in their lamp, but they had everything else. They were clean, they believed in Christ, they preached the Word and that they believed, they're denominational, that their denomination would let them preach. They preached that, the second coming, the sacrifice, atonement. You see, they're preaching what their church organization will let them preach. Now, you cannot preach the purity of Christ in most of these churches. They won't let you preach it. And yet, that's the Word. Jesus preached it, Paul preached it, Peter preached it, James, John, they all preached it. But yet, they won't let you preach it. Why? You ask yourself, why? Why do they call the purity of Christ false doctrine? When it is the message. Brother Brown said, my ministry is to declare him that he is here. That's appearing before the coming. They don't believe the appearing before the coming. I'm sorry. They'll say, well, I believe everything Brother Brown said. No, you don't. No, you don't. And you can call yourself a message believer, but you're not, because his message is to declare that he's here, and you're not preaching that. You're not a message believer. I'm not going to associate myself with those that do not believe that he is here, because they don't understand. They have no clue. It's to them, it's a denomination. It's a church creed. Their church creed might be music. might be making a bigger church, maybe making a bigger denomination, you know, getting together with a handful of brothers that are of like mind, and so they got their thing going. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm only interested in one thing, and that's the one who's here serving Him, living out my life for Him. All right? He says, they believe. You ever tie up with a good Baptist scholar one time? Uh-huh. You better know what you're talking about. Sure had. From question and answer to COD. When you use the expression that if we do not believe the word, we will be eternally separated. This is the question. I put it in black because it's not Brother Branham. It's actually Brother Branham's reading it, but it's a question. So like I put mine in black. Okay, I'm not the prophet vindicated. Brother Branham's are strictly for blue what his answers are, because that's blue means trueness. Okay. Now, the question is, when you use the expression that if we do not believe the word, we'll be eternally separated from Christ, do you mean the foolish virgin will live eternally, but they will be separated from the New Jerusalem where Christ will dwell in the bride? Man, I've got something caught in my throat. Here are those who do not have the Holy Spirit, born again as the Scripture speaks of being born again. If the natural birth requires water, blood, and spirit, does not the spiritual birth require all three stages of grace before the person is truly born again? And Brother Graham said, absolutely. Now, I just explained that this morning. The same thing on the same thing. You've got to have all stages. You've got you're begotten of the Spirit, just like a baby's begotten into the womb of the mother, but not born until you receive the Holy Ghost. That's right. You're born then, you're not converted. You're in the process of being converted until that time. In other words, when you're born, you're a baby, and your whole state is like Brother Bell taught us. Status versus state, you know, your status of your son of God, but your state is, are you a baby or are you a mature adult? Okay, so you're in the process of being converted until that time. That's the reason that all these great mysteries could not be given to Luther, could not be given to Wesley, could not be given to any age or to the age that has just passed us, the Pentecostal age. Why? It wasn't time. They were begotten. Now, the person of Christ himself, the Son of Man, you understand, revealed himself in human flesh. It could not have come till then. Thank you. From question and answer, Brother Benson, now, just a minute. Will the foolish virgin be saved? No. Whatever happens, she happens now. After that time, she's in the state. Now, she will have to go through the tribulation period, and the reason of that is because she has rejected the atonement in its fullness. She is a believer, a professed believer, but she will have to go through the tribulation period. I may have to put that in periodically, but now here's the thing I want you to understand. When he says, they say, will she be saved? He's thinking from the tribulation, no. But will she be saved at the white throne? If she's truly a foolish virgin, she will. The foolish virgin does not attack the true virgin. She's just foolish. She just doesn't have the oil. She wants the same things. But she doesn't have that spirit of Satan, that spirit of evil that was in Cain that wanted to crucify and to kill Abel because he had a correct word and he didn't have a correct word. So, just to get that clarification in your minds. Now, she will have to go through the tribulation period, and the reason of it is because she has rejected the atonement in its fullness. She is a believer, a professed believer, and she will have to go through the tribulation period. Now, what is the atonement in its fullness? If you walk in the light as he is in the light, because the pillar of fire, see, the pillar of fire only shows you where the presence of God is. It's called the Shekinah presence. All right? And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. But as Brother Brown said, to believe in Christ, you have to be in Christ believing. I'm going to say that again. To be in Christ, or to believe in Christ, you have to be in Christ believing. You see? All right, not believing in an object out here. It's in Christ and you're believing. Okay. Now, the Bible said, and the rest of them, the dragon spurted out of water out of his mouth to go and make war. And what an hour that is. There's never been a time in history where that the nominal church has become so hungry to find the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I speak to the Christian businessmen constantly. It's Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, and all Baptists by the hundreds, Churches of Christ, Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness, Seventh-day Adventists, every one of them flocking in, trying to find, see? So, what do we got going here? You have a prophet who came with a message for everyone, because everyone was in denomination at that time. And the message was, behold the bridegroom, come out! Come out! But when they refuse to come out, oh, they say, yeah, we're in the message. You didn't come out, though. You brought your same old denominational doctrines with you. You see? Notice, it was in Matthew 25, both wise and foolish, that heard the midnight cry, which is the shout of 1 Thessalonians 4:17. That, of course, is the message, and all were in denominations when they heard the shout for the first time. Unless you're kids whose parents were in the message, that don't even count. You got to come yourself. So at that time, the foolish were in denomination, but when the voice said, come out to meet him, both wise and foolish came out of denomination. If you read Matthew 25, you cannot see it any other way. Matthew 25:1 tells us, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps, that's the word, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Notice this is the bride through the ages, because we will see in a few verses that they were asleep. And 5 of them were wise. These were knowing, had understanding, had the Holy Ghost. And 5 were foolish. These did not have an understanding because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Here he tells you why they were considered foolish. They had no oil, which means they had no Holy Ghost. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So there's two things there, vessels and lamps. Notice the oil in the oil or Holy Ghost is in their vessel, not their lamp, but their vessel. And we know that the lamp, according to David in Psalm 119 and 105, is the Word of God. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, all right, that's for 2,000 years, they all slumbered and slept. This shows the position of the church throughout the ages. They slumbered. All right, and at midnight there was a cry made. At midnight, not through the ages, not the day before, the week before, the year before, the 10 years before, but at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, look and see, the bridegroom is here. Come ye out to meet him. At the midnight cry, which is the shout or the message, the voice commanded the bride to come out of him. As Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare him that he's here. That's Matthew 25. You see? The King James says, go out. But the midnight cry is not from within. If it was from within denomination, yeah, I'd say, okay, it could be that. But it's not. The messenger was on the outside. The word was on the outside, knocking, trying to get in, but wasn't in. He said, come out. Come out of her, my people. All those different scriptures saying, come out of her. He's on the outside. So the cry is to come out to meet him. This is exactly what William Branham, Seventh Church Age Messenger, tells us from a sermon from that time. He says, how many knows there's a difference between the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ? It's two different words. Now is the appearing. Now, the coming will soon be. He's appearing in the midst of us doing the works that he once did in his church. Now, you're a part of that church, and by grace you believe, and I'm a member of that church. Now, I'm not a preacher, you know I'm not. I have not the education to do it. Sometimes I feel reluctant standing here by men of God who's called to that office. But there are apostles and prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. Well, then why are people saying there isn't? You see? They don't believe the message. They're not message believers. I'm sorry. When you add to and take from the Word of God, you're not a message believer. You are a creed and a church. Period. Not all are apostles, not all are prophets, not all are teachers, not all are evangelists. I'm standing here, but my ministry is different ministry from a pastor or teacher, and I'm not. And if I say that thing's wrong, brethren, forgive me. I don't mean it, but this is my ministry. See? To declare him that he is here. Now, if you don't declare him, then people won't know who's here. You see, they're still looking for the second coming. They're all preaching the second coming, and they're failing to recognize who's here. Just like they did at the Alpha, when Jesus came, he came exactly according to the word, and they were looking for Messiah to come some other way. And God has come in his way, which is an appearing. God came to Abraham before the promised son came on the scene. That's your Old Testament type. You understand? That is the shout of, and you got to have the father before you can have the son. Right? All right. That is the shout of Matthew 25. Behold, he's here, come out to meet him. Many people mistake the groom to be the son of God, but the groom is God himself. It is an invisible union of the bride to Christ. She is united with him who is the word, because she's word. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So when the midnight cry went forth, the message they saw, the manifestation of the supernatural, and the call to come out began. Many left their denominations, and the call to come out over my people was made, and many of the church responded to that call. The problem is that there were two types of bride, a wise and a foolish. Those who had the oil in their vessel to understand the midnight cry was to present the word, and those who came out looking for the second coming, which will be a physical coming of the Son, the wise came out knowing God is the word. There's appearing before the coming. I'm married to the word. The bride comes out looking for the vessel, the second coming. They're going to get married to the vessel. They've got a wrong concept to begin with. A wrong understanding. That's why they missed him. So because he did not understand the appearing, which is the parousia of Christ, that it comes before the actual coming of the Son of God, they came out but held on to their denominational doctrines, as we see in some of the quotes that I'll present later. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Their lamps have gone out, it says. The word they had was not good for the age they were in now. And as Brother Brown taught us, their lamps had become smoked up. He said we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Well, these were looking darkly. They had no oil. They had no light on the word. But the wise answered, not able to shine upon the word, because they were all smoked out, even though they trimmed their lamps, they checked the word, which means to search the word, but the word they had was for the past, not the present tense age that they were living. Verse 9. But the wise answer, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now this is the first age where the message that had come was taped, and people could actually buy it for themselves. In all other ages, the people were dependent upon a true fivefold ministry to take the message and teach it to the people. Now there's only one source for buying the tapes in this hour, and they even call the tapes the token, which is what Brother Bram called the Holy Ghost is the token. But they call the tapes the token. So this organization that sells is telling people you can get the token, you can get the oil by buying their product. You see how straight? It's there, brothers. They also call themselves a storehouse and the only distributor of Brother Branham's sermons, or of the oil. That's what they say. Now, Jesus told us himself, Matthew 24:26, wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, if he's in the secret chamber, believe it not. And the Greek word for secret chamber is timian, which means a dispenser or distributor generally used for storage, secret chamber, closet, or storehouse. God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So Jesus says, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the distribution center, behold, he's in the storehouse, believe it not. But because they did not know the Bible, they thought that they could get the Holy Ghost a token from the storehouse, and so off they went to them that sell. That's as plain as you can get. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. The mighty God unveiled the appearing, the parousia of Christ, and they rejected it as false doctrine. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, which is the invisible union of the bride and Christ. And the door, which is the word, was shut. From questions and answers, Brother Branham, dear Brother Branham, please explain St. Matthew chapter 22. How did these guests get in at the wedding supper who had on a garment but didn't have on one of the wedding garments? Remember I said, and I kind of pulled a little joke, I said a denominational brother came in by the window and not the door, because the door is the word. So what was shut to the foolish virgin? The word. You could show it to them until you're blue in the face and they cannot see it. It's closed. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door, the word, and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, open the word, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. That's the wedding supper. Why I'm against organization, Brother Branham tells us. Notice, this is the angel of the light. Remember the last angel, it's the angel in the church age to the Laodicean, it's the Laodicean messenger, and it's the last, because the very next chapter is the 19th chapter, which is the coming of the bride. And this is in the scripture, the last angel that came to bring light before the coming of the bride to go meet Christ. It was the Laodicean church age then. That was the Laodicean church age messenger calling them out of Babylon. Look, what's he saying? He's here, come out. He's here, come out. Oh no, you just come in with us. It's not what it's about. You got to come out. He says, church is caught in her cage with her dogmas, denying the word and accepting dogmas. This is the angel of light to the Laodicean church that had rejected Christ and his word for dogma and had put him outside. And he stood at the door knocking, trying to get in. See it? The church age had rejected the Christ, the Christ is the word, and had rejected it, and he was on the outside, the only church age that we have of Christ, on the outside, knocking, trying to get in. And the Holy Spirit just revealed something to me, and I want to share it right now. We have watched the four horses come out, right? The first was a white, it was a doctrine. What was a doctrine? Huh? Yeah, what was the doctrine though? Nicolaitia. There's we up here, you down here, right? Then that horse, then the same rider got on, instead of a white horse, a religious horse, he got on a red horse, went forth conquering to conquer. Then he got on a black horse, which brought the dark ages in and death. Then he got on a mixed horse, and Brother Brown said he's got a triple crown. It's religion, politics, and national spirit. They've all come together to be a brindle horse. Now here's what I want. Here's what the Holy Spirit would say. All right. He says, come out of her, come out of Babylon. Come out of her. You have the same thing uniting politics, uniting national spirit, uniting religion. What is it? A Nicolaitan spirit. There you go. You see it? We are the elite. The people are too stupid to know how to rule their own lives, so we're going to rule it for them. You get it in the pulpits, you get it in the politicians, you're getting it in the governments today. That same spirit, it's not Trinitarianism. That's not uniting them, because you've got United Pentecostals, but they got the same Nicolaitan spirit on them. And you got it right in these so-called message churches. We are the priest. You can't talk to us that way. We are the priesthood of God, you know. Well, I'm sorry, but you're a Nicolaitan. You're part of that brindle color horse. How dare you say that message churches are part of the beast? They're part of the beast system. They are. If they got a Nicolaitan spirit on them. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is active and alive, because that's very clear now. I see that. Yeah. All right. And this angel's messenger, come from God, was echoing his message on the earth, because who came down with a shout? God did. What's the messenger doing? He's echoing the message of the one who came down on the earth to come out of Babylon, confusion. Come out of the organizations. Organizations. See, he didn't use the word denomination here. Organizations. They organize around this ministry or that ministry. The Holy Spirit today, the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, is that angel trying to get the people back to the Word. Because the Holy Spirit will only vindicate the Word. That's why I said when Brother Branham, when those three rainbows came together, that was it wasn't vindicating William Branham, it was vindicating the Word that he's preaching. That's why the same God would do the same thing when I was preaching the same thing, the same Word he was preaching. And I was preaching it over there, and it wasn't me he's vindicating the same Word as being preached. The Holy Spirit will only vindicate the Word, not the vessel, the Word. It can't vindicate dogmas. There's no life in them. He's life. Now notice the Laodicean church age that denied him, rejected him, and had put him on the outside. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. Look at it. They're even preaching two lords. Remember Brother Brown said when three of them came to Abraham, he said, my Lord. But when the two came to Lot, he said, my lords. You see? You know, these things are very important for us to understand, brothers and sisters. It's not just a matter of semantics. It's not just a matter of, well, you believe this way, I believe that way. You either believe the truth that there's one God, one Lord, or you don't believe it at all. In fact, if you believe more than one Lord, you're heathen. Because the heathens are polygamists too, but polytheists. Brother Bell told us that Dr. Hoyer, now listen to what he says. Afterward came the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. And he answered and said, verily, verily, I say to you, I know you not. I diagnosco you not. I do not know you experientially. All right. Now, Brother Bell told us that Dr. Hoyer, who was a good friend of Brother Bell's, he was perhaps the greatest American Greek expert at the time. In fact, he actually attended Brother Brown's meetings, and the things that he had to say were just so astounding, accurate. It was, and I've got some of those. If you'd like to see them sometime, Brother Bell talks about it. But he said what the Greek actually says is, it speaks of the great divorcement. He says, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife any longer. She's put away. She's out. From the Patmos vision, Brother Brown says, so then the foolish virgin was the one who did not have oil in their lamps, that I believe that was cast out into outer darkness, where they'd be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And if you compare that on your footnotes, it'll run it right back again to the Great Tribulation, and I think they're the ones that stays back and goes through the Great Tribulation. Then Jesus says, now watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And of course we know this is the hour that the Son of Man has come. This is the hour of his great parousia, the parousia of the Son of Man. From the anointed ones at the end time, Brother Brandt says, now I want you to know this is sure, and you that's listening to this tape, you tape listeners, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself. See, you might have thought, but you're wrong. Being that I was packing this message, I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, because I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. Oh yeah, well then who was? The angel of the Lord. I was only standing there when he appeared. I was only standing there. I was just taking it in. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm the only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to, that he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh, no, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. And it's not a man, it's God. The angel is not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man, his words will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Makes it very apparent there. We're feeding on the one who came down, His Word. He is the Word. He reveals it first to a prophet, always. Then the prophet reveals it to you. Look, when He revealed to William Branham, it became His message. But when it's been revealed to you, it's now your message. What are you doing with it? What are you doing about it? From questions and answers, he said, after the bride is raptured, will any of the foolish virgin be saved, or will they all be lost? No. See, everything will be finished for the Gentile church when the bride is taken from the earth. It's over, brother, sister. When that happens, it's completely over. The Spirit of God leaves the earth. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. He that's holy is holy still. In other words, the sanctuary becomes smoky where the attorney stands to plead the case. Christ leaves the sanctuary. His day of mediation or mediatorial is over. There's no more blood. The rapture comes. He leaves from the sanctuary, goes forth and takes the book of redemption and claims everything that he claimed. There's no more mediatorial work. How many understands that? I just wonder how many people understand that. We're getting down to the final wire, and you better shape up your lives and just die to yourself, because that's the only thing you can do. You can die to yourself and allow Him to live your life for you. I got it on one of the seals, the seals, I believe it was, that Christ comes forth to claim His mediatorial work. Okay, now see, look, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just standing for the Word, okay? All right? So, you know, if I have my eyes happen to glance over, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about the Word. All right? I'm saying we all have to examine ourselves by the Word. All right? Now, from God hiding Himself in simplicity, He says, something happened the other day. You read or heard the tape, the seven thunders. What time is it, sir? See? It happened the other day. You know these things. The time is at hand, church. The time is at hand. Don't wait any longer. See? How do you know the rapture is not going on all the time? First thing you know, it'll be past. One disappearing here, there. And it'll be gone. And the first thing you know, and the judgment will strike the earth. You say, well, I thought this. It's too late then. When you already have the judgments coming in. As Brother Ram said in Services at Times, says, could it be too late? Well, I'm in the bride because I believe the message. Does that mean you're in the bride? Y'all better get right. Because it's later than you think. You remember, they didn't know it until the day they entered into the ark, and then it was too late. The foolish virgin didn't know until she come back and found the wise virgin gone. Then she was left for the tribulation period. From the third seal, Brother Brown says, here's a good part now, see? See that thou hurt not this wine and oil, just a little bit of it left, brother. Don't you touch that. Now, oil symbolizes the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I'll give you a few verses if you want, a few scriptures in Leviticus 8 and 12, where Aaron, before he went in, he had to be anointed with the oil, you know. And Zechariah 4 and 12, of oil coming, pouring through the pipes, and he said, this is my Spirit, the oil. And another thing you want to see is Matthew 14, 25. There was a foolish virgin, or 25 and 3. The foolish virgin had no oil, no spirit. In Matthew 25 and 4, the wise virgin had oil in her lamp, spirit-filled. Spirit oil typifies the Spirit. Oh, glory, you get it, right? All right? Again, if you can't understand the symbols, you'll never understand the Word of God. And the only way you'll understand the symbols is you've got to have the oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. From the ten virgins, now watch, they both of them were virgins. Now, let me get this here. Now, let's take these two right here. This is a virgin, and this is a virgin. This is a foolish virgin, and this was a wise virgin, but both of them were virgins. Now, what's a virgin? She's not touched by man. She's not in a denomination. That's man's. She's out from that denomination, so she's where? Well, she'd be in what people call the message, but it's... In other words, she could believe that he's here. But she's still got her eyes focused on the vessel. Because she came out. with those who didn't have their eye focused on the vessel. Now, if you take the name virgin and run it down, it means holy, clean, sanctified. And the word sanctified comes from the root word sainted, which means clean, like the Hebrew word. Now, that's a Greek word, sanctified. It means clean. Now, the Hebrew word is make holy, see, and ours is clean. Now, they take the three words, like each word has the same meaning, but it's spoken different. Like the word clean and holy and sanctified, all three is the same word. All right? Now, from the Patmos vision, he says, so then the foolish virgin was the one who did not have oil in their lamps, that I believe that was cast out into outer darkness where there'd be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Again, just saying, foolish virgin are going to the tribulation. Now, if you compare that with your footnotes, it'll run right back again to the Great Tribulation. And I think they're the ones that stays back and goes through the Great Tribulation. Quite a lesson there if we had time to go into it. You notice, why didn't he go into it? You see, I'll just say it like this. You know, Peter and I, we've had a lot of discussion. And we are not interested in the tribulation because it's not for us. It wasn't for the bride, so he didn't go into a whole lot about it. All right. It's not for you. Don't even be thinking about those things. When he says, a plague shall not come nigh thee, even near thy house, believe him. Well, what can I do? You know, like that quote I sent out, I've even put it on the Facebook, had a lot of comments on it. Brother Ram says, the plague's coming. People say, oh, I got to go find Dr. Jones. He's really good with those things. Well, I got to find this guy and find this guy. The plague's coming. Brother Ram used those words. And everybody else, well, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. No, you got to be in Christ. Them that have the Holy Ghost, it shall not come nigh thee. Even at, you say, well, then why did sister so-and-so die? Maybe she didn't have the Holy Ghost. Maybe she didn't have the Holy Ghost. You ever think about that? Well, they believe the message, do they? Are you living it? Is it part of you? Are you filled so much that people look at you and they believe that you're a Christian? I'm not slamming any particular people. I'm just saying this. People are so fearful they believe a doctor over a God who said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. Who said the plague will come nigh thee but not touch thee. The God who said it won't even come near your house. And people get fearful of those things. There's more coming, brother, sister. This fall we're going to see other things. Oh, monkeypox. Monkeypox, monkey, whatever. I don't care. A bunch of homosexuals get together and they do their things and they get monkeypox. They do their thing and they get HIV. Now they're trying to put HIV in, you know, other things. So don't want to get struck in again because we've had too many of them taken off. But the fact is, brother, sister, pray, be filled with the Spirit, don't worry. Now, they were all good people, every one of them virgins, sanctified vessels of God, but those who had oil in their lamps went in. And the oil, the others were left out. They were all virgins, every one, people that you couldn't put your finger on or anything else, or anything wrong. They, everyone, believed in the coming of the Lord. You see, the coming of the Lord, but did they believe the appearing of the Lord? They believed the coming of the Lord. They were ready to go meet Him. But some of them let their oil go out. Don't let that be your case. Keep oil in your lamp. Oil is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Never let it drain from you. When you feel your love dying away, and here you go. If you want to know if you got the Holy Ghost, if you want to know if it's drained from you, he says, when you feel your love dying away, your sincerity to Christ and to the cause, quickly go to Him who has a fountain of oil and buy for yourself a filling of the Holy Spirit. When's the last time you got on your knees in private and said, God, I don't like what I am, or I don't like the way I am. Fill me with the joy of my salvation. Fill me, oh God. And then, as I've told others, don't get up until you are. A young man years ago came to me and said, you know what you said today? Said you're saying that I'm not even bride. And I said, well, if that's the way you took it, then maybe you're not. But I've always believed that I'm predestined, that I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. But by the word that you brought up today, I'm not. I said, brother, then my advice for you, I said, you can be a child of God, but if you've never been born again, it don't do you any good. You see, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living, but it's not me, Paul, that's living. It's Christ that's living in me. And that's what he's taking, is the Christ that's living in me. I said, I would put away all your toys, because he had them. I'd go to the woods someplace, get on my knees, and not get up until God cleansed you and fills you with his Spirit. Did he do that? No, he didn't. He left the church angrily, and he's been in prison for the last 18 years. Get right while you have time to get right. People get angry. Listen, I'm a preacher of righteousness. I'm not up here to pat you on the back and say, hey, you know, let's have a good time. I'm here to say, hey, examine yourself by the word. He said, never let it drain from you. When you feel the love, your love for the word dying away, your sincerity to Christ and to the cause, quickly go to him who is or has the fountain of oil. Buy for yourself. He said, our nation's gone. Morally corrupted and ruined. Our politics corrupted and gone, our leaders. Oh God, what could we do about it? You can put a good man in and he comes out a crook. Mark that down. There's only one that can bring now. That's the Lord Jesus. Let's make ready for his coming. So question number two. Based on 2 John, the 9th verse, does the foolish version also come out of the believers who have knowledge of the doctrine of the message? Well, let me just say this. If you have knowledge of the doctrine of Christ, that doesn't mean that you're a believer even. You have knowledge. To answer our brother's question, let's go and read for ourselves 2 John 9 and read it. He says, look to yourself, verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, which we've worked for, but that we receive a full reward. What's your full reward? Adoption. Change of the body. Whosoever transgresses, whosoever goes beyond the limits and abideth not, remains not, is not at home in the doctrine of Christ, hath or echoes not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, nor bid him Godspeed. What is the doctrine of Christ? It's understanding the difference between the Father and Son, and sons. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. That's pretty strong words. I wonder if he had people telling him, oh, you're speaking against the message, people. John could care less about if you call yourself a follower of Christ or not. By their fruits, you should know them. John called these guys who were into heresy, he called them right out to their face. Well, you know me, John. He said, yeah, you're son of the devil. That's what he said, according to Polycarp. Yeah. He wasn't very nice. He was a son of thunder. Right? If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. The key to this is he that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he that makes his home, he that lives in it, and the only way you can properly echo God is if you have the same Spirit of God in you. That is very apparent throughout many scriptures that you do not just understand it, but you must live it as well. That is to echo, which we will understand better, this echo in 1 John 5, 10-12. All right, we'll get to that in just a minute. First John 4 and 13, hereby know we, or genosko, which means to experientially know, that we dwell in him and he in us, because he gives us his Spirit. That's how you know. And we've seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Well, what do you do with people? Even you claim they're message people, but they're not, because they say that God is his own Son. Now, how can, if he was God is his own Son, then he's God the Son. Now you're Trinitarian and no longer a oneness. God is his own Son. It doesn't make any sense at all. But let's look at the heart of the whole thing. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's what they crucified Jesus for calling himself the Son of God. God dwelleth in him and he in God. 1 John 5 and 10. He that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness. Who's the witness? The Holy Spirit. He that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. Now listen to this. Very next verse. He that echoes the Son echoes life. There you go. How are you echoing it? Not by preaching a message, but by living it. Right? He that echoes the Son echoes life, and he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not the life. So if a person doesn't echo the life, he's not echoing the Son either. Now let's skip down to verse 20. And we know, that word is edo, and we are aware that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know or ginosko, or experientially know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Now, 1 John 2 and 20. But you have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. That anointing helps you to know. And the very fact that you can see the relation between the Father and the Son, and how Jesus said the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, a vision, that do the Son likewise. Now you know that relationship. And if you've got that anointing, you'll know that relationship, and you'll know that relationship is for you as well. That's why he said, John 14:12, the things that I do, you're going to do, because you have the same Spirit in you, thus you'll do the same things. 1 Corinthians 2:9, as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knoweth. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. See, God gives you his Spirit so that you can know the things of God. Which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He that is spiritual, which means Spirit-filled, judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we do have the mind of Christ. Now to answer the question, does the foolish version also come out of the believers who have knowledge of the doctrine of the message? And I've shown you by these scriptures that in order to even understand the things of God, you must have the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of God, you will never be able to understand the things of God. People can be aware of and have a certain understanding of the doctrine of Christ, like there's a Father and Son. And I know a denomination who teaches almost exactly, the only difference is in the pre-incarnate Son, but they teach Father and Son. They came out of the Church of God, and they're in Atlanta. They have a Bible school down there, and they teach that there's one God and he had a Son, and I sent them my book, and they thanked me because it helped them. But their denomination, you know what? They got the same doctrine, but they got the mark of the beast as well. See? Because it's not the doctrine that saves you. It's do you have the Holy Ghost? The foolish virgin does not understand. Foolish means she does not understand because she has no oil to light up the word to her. And without the Spirit of God, you will not recognize and then act upon the word. So the acting upon is your evidence that you understand. It is the echo of 1 John 1 and 12, 5 and 12. The echo, to echo the Son is to echo the life. From if God be with us, Brother Branson, we are believing on His word, keeping the oil in the lamp. It trimmed and burned. Letting your light so shine that other men could see your good works, your fruits, glorify the Father which is in heaven. And what will happen? Believing the Word of God and acting upon the Word of God will meet him up in the air, not a shadow of a doubt. You see, if Noah didn't act upon the Word, he would have perished in the waters with everybody else. But he acted upon it. He built a house. He built the ark for the saving of his household. Right? So there must be an acting upon the Word to show that you have believed and recognized it. So we come to question number three. Are the seven angels that formed the supernatural cloud that appeared in Arizona sky on February 28, 1963, the theophanies of the seven messengers of the seven church ages? Well, I just have to ask you a question. Okay, if you know that they are seven angels, then why would you think that they'd be the theophanies of men? Right? I can find no place in his message where William Branham told us those angels were the theophanies of the seven church age messengers. Not one place. He says they were angels of the seven church ages, messengers of the seven church ages, and he says they had wings. And humans and human theophanies don't have wings. There are 13 times in Who Is This Melchizedek where Brother Branham mentions the word theophany or theophanies in respect to God appearing to Abraham, and he says God is spirit, and he stepped into a dust to become and morph. So the theophany of God had to put on dust to become and morph. He tells us it was not a theophany that appeared to Abraham. It was flesh. He also, in connection to our spirit body, which the Apostle Paul calls spirit body, in contrast to our natural body, from Be Certain of God, he says, step in here, Gabriel. We're going down to Sodom. Brother Bram blows again. Step in here, Michael. And he breathed one for himself, and he walked right down here in human flesh. Okay? Don't tell me he wasn't God, Brother Bram says. Abraham said he was Elohim, the great God Jehovah. He wasn't a theophany either. It wasn't a vision. He actually ate the meat of that calf, drink the milk from the cow, and he eat cornbread. He was a man. Okay. Now, you see that, right? You can't see a theophany. Angels. In speaking about Samuel in his sermon, Who Is This Melchizedek? Brother Brown says, for he said, why did you call me out of my rest, seeing that you become an enemy of God? Watch him prophesy. Tomorrow night you'll be with, by this time you'll be with me. He was still a prophet, though he was gone from this body. See, he became here and was a part of that word, and he entered from the flesh life back into the body that had been prepared for him before the foundations of the world. He entered into the theophany, which was the word. Now, really, the word theophany, it's theo, meaning God, and phani, meaning body. God, body, which is what? Word. God is the word, right? So, you get it. That's where all believers go when we turn from here. Then in that form, the veil then is lifted. You see that you are the word also when you enter into there. As a little baby, as I said a while ago. And then later on he says, now notice, praise God for these opening seals in my prayer to know these things. Okay. From Who Is This Melchizedek? And he said, he was the Word. A theophany is something that you could not see. It could be right here now, yet you cannot see it. It's just like television. That's in another dimension. Television. People are moving right through this room now, seeing. Here, there's colors also. But the eye is only subject to the five senses. Your whole body, your whole being is only subject to five senses, rather, and you are only subject to what the sight has been limited to see. But there is another dimension that can be seen by a transformation by television. Now, television does not manufacture a picture. A television only channels it into a circuit, and then the television screen picks it up. And the picture there to begin with, the picture is there to begin with. Television was here when Adam was here. Television was here when Elijah sat on Mount Carmel. Television was here when Jesus of Nazareth walked the shores of Galilee. But you're just now discovering it. They wouldn't have believed it back then. You'd have been crazy to have said something like it. But now it's become a reality. And so is it that Christ is here. the angels of God are here. And someday in the great millennium to come, it'll be just more real than television or anything else because they are here. I remember a brother, I forget his name, it started with an A, I believe. He was one of the deacons in the tabernacle. And he told me, he said, as I was crossing, I had to go in front of Brother Branham while he was preaching because I had to check the air conditioner. It was very, very hot in there. He said, and when I passed by, he said, afterwards, I went to Brother Branham. I said, Brother Branham, when I went between you and the audience, I said, I had the most vulgar thoughts flood my mind that I've ever had in my life. And Brother Branham said, it's that way almost every service. He said, if you could only see, brother, there are demons like monkeys that are sitting on the walls waiting to perch on someone who shows a sign of unbelief. All right? We're living in three dimensions. We don't see the fourth dimension. We don't see the fifth dimension or the sixth. And God lives in the seventh. We don't see those things. So we're blinded to those things. But a vindicated prophet could see by vision. He could see that hood that was that hood that hooded that woman to death. He could see it right over her head. He could also see the pillar of fire, which is God, the presence of God. He could see that over the people as well. You and I don't have that gift. We have to believe it by faith. But nevertheless, sometimes you walk into a room and you can feel like there's, or you can, how many have ever been in a room? You're talking to somebody and you just feel a real kind of a strange thing about you, like somebody's talking about you, and you turn to look and there they are. They're talking about you. You see, you are sensitive to a degree, but anyway, you can only see the devil was in that conversation as well. So, all right. So, he said he reveals himself in this great form of what we call the anamorph, himself into a servant and proves himself. Now, here he is in the form of the Spirit, and then he comes in the form of anamorph. Now, he appeared to Abraham anamorph. When Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings, here come Melchizedek to talk to him. So you see, he said, you cannot see theophany, but we saw the seven angels in the picture, right? Took the picture of it as well, and the whole world over has seen the same picture. If those were theophanies, we could not have seen them, and a picture would not have been taken. Now, they were angels with wings, not human. Theophanies are spirit bodies. Besides, those angels had wings. Humans don't have wings. All right. So, from Shalom, he says, just exactly like he showed us in the seven church ages what would come, just exactly what he showed us what would come when he set that light up there in Revelation to see it, to show the world. All right. From when he sent the seven angels... Excuse me, he said, when he sent seven angels to reveal the seven messengers that have been down through here, there, and show the loose ends, each angel coming each day and revealing the loose ends that Luther left and Wesley left and Pentecost left is all represented in there. Now, it wasn't the theophany of Luther and the theophany of Wesley because, let's face it, those men missed many things. But it was the angel that instructed them. You know, there's an angel to each church age, and it's not just the man. There's a heavenly angel and an earthly angel. All right? And we know that there's a heavenly angel with Brother Brown because it's been testified many times. And in the very type and shadow of the great Shalom, Jehovah Jireh, see, exactly, throwed it in the skies, and there is a mechanical eye taking a picture of it. See, thank the Lord, Shalom, peace. Don't be worried, Jesus is here. His great light has come to us, and we're thankful for it. Yes, His Word, the great mystery. Here He is today, manifesting Himself, doing the same as He did then, just the same, doing the same thing. Now remember, Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. So which Jesus was He talking about? The Father. All right, not the second coming. Brother Ram, one place says, you know, if he came today with nail scars in His hands, and I said, I wouldn't believe it. It's not the hour for it. This is the hour of the appearing. From Shalom, but did you notice before the seven seals, and He doesn't come to us anyway. We go to meet Him. The only time He comes back is He comes to Israel. He comes to Israel, but it's all over for us. All right? But did you notice before the seven seals were revealed, before the great mysterious light showed forth in the heavens up here at above Tucson, Flagstaff, where we were, Brother Fred, two of the men was with me that morning, when that had been told months and months ahead of time would take place. Now, if you recall, 6 months or so before that took place, Brother Brown told us of a vision where the angels came down, and he said, like doves or something, he just swooped down, and he said, then there were angels, and he got caught up into that constellation, and then it happened 6 months later. So both Brother Fred Softman and Brother Gene Norman, sitting here this morning, when it was there when the blast went off, and not knowing these things would take place, and he sent me back, said that the time was at hand for the seven seals, which were the seven mysteries of the entire Bible was sealed in with those seven seals, and how these angels, not theophanies, angels, down along the road, messengers of the church ages, opened to a certain part of that. But in the seventh hour, the seventh messenger, that all these mysteries should be finished. See, the seventh earthly messenger. See, this angel that he speaks of then was on earth. An angel means messenger. And then after that, he saw another angel coming down, not the earthly angel, but had been given the message here, but another mighty angel come from heaven with a rainbow over him, and set his foot on the land, and swore by him that lives forever and ever, time shall be no more. Now, for people to think that those were the seven theophanies of Luther and all these people, now what you got? You got a mediator between God and man, another mediator besides Jesus. You see? You see with those thinking? And I don't know where that came from, but it's. I know people believe it. You know, people say, oh yeah, Brother Brown said it. He didn't say it. So who did say it? Well, some preacher someplace wanted to make something for himself, said it, and then people heard it and said, oh, it must be right, instead of checking it for themselves. See, that's why I put everything up here. You check it for yourself, it's right there. It's right there. And if you find something that's not up there, bring it to me and we'll put it up there for everybody to see. All right? See, but before he broke forth on those seven seals to reveal them, that he showed miraculously, it showed it first in the heavens. That day they took pictures all across the southern United States and Mexico, and it hangs now in the Life magazine, still a mystery to them. But he declares it in the heaven first before he does it on earth. He always does. He shows the signs in the heavens first. And from desperation, he says, then seeing these signs coming, seeing the Holy Spirit take us out of there and bring these seals and lay them in like that, bring the church ages and lay them in, then come down in a great big pillar of fire there and reveal himself, then come down on the next thing, on the seven seals and reveal it, even put it in the papers and magazines, then come in and take the angels of God, them seven seals with seven messages, and confirm it exactly what the Bible said. Then during that time, come up and bring in those seals, those signs, flashes of the end time, and bring it upon the people and tell them what it is and all about it. And the Lord working right there, showing himself present, and then right down, like this morning, come up and require that token on every person. Then you're my people. You're the ones that I love. These and them that's listening to the tapes and so forth. Then you see what desperation it puts me in. From Uniting Time and Sign, he says, we see uniting. We see the world uniting. We see communism uniting. We see the church uniting. We see God uniting himself with his bride until he, and the church is the same thing, like the pyramid yonder. Uniting themselves together, God uniting. Why? Never before since the early church age was a pillar of fire ever among the people. Never before since the early church age did they ever see the things that we're seeing today. And this is only made possible when God sent the seven seals and bring us a sign by it, and sent down seven angels, not theophanies, angels, down out of heaven and come to bring back that scattered word from them denominations and tie it back into the word again and bring down his Holy Spirit. Now we've got, I'm just going to skip a little bit. And the notes are here. You can go and look them up online. But question number four. Can you please talk a little bit about the mystery of the serpent's trail of Proverbs 30 and 19? All right, so in order to understand that, we have to read 18 and 19. There be three things which are too wonderful, and the word wonderful actually means difficult. So, are too difficult for me, yea, for which I know not. The way of the eagle in the air, the way of the serpent upon the rock, the way of the ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Now, the question concerns the serpent's trail of Proverbs 30:19. The word wonderful was translated from the Hebrew word pela, which means difficult, and that would have been a better translation. But because I do not think he's speaking of a serpent just bathing in the sun while laying upon the rock. There's nothing difficult about that. But if you're talking about him leaving a trail upon the rock, that would be a very difficult thing to follow up unless you're looking for a sign on the rock itself. Not for a sign, but if you're looking for what they call sign. And a very good tracker can do it. How many ever listened to the old Louis L'Amour stories? Anybody? Well, you know, they're always talking about, well, that man, that guy's so good. He's such a good tracker that he can track a snake across a rock. And you think to yourself, because we live here in the eastern part of the United States, you know, it's very passes back here. We don't see a lot of snakes on rocks. You might see them in the grass, right? But how do you track a snake across a rock? Just think, because we're looking at something. We're looking at signs, right? We're looking at symbols. We're looking at these things. How do you track a serpent across a rock? Anybody have a guess? All right. There's displacement in the dust on the rock. There may be a leaf that's out of place because there's maybe a couple of leaves here. And this one's maybe been moved over here. There may be a twig that's been turned this way instead of the others that are going this way. You see, you look for the sign. And when you look for the sign, there's attributes and characteristics of the sign that you can see that something has gone across there. All right? So, in the Old West, you know, they would talk about the best trackers are those who could trail a serpent across a rock. So, therefore, knowing the signs, symbols, and events foretold by Jesus, Paul, Peter, James, and John, and of course, explained by God's vindicated prophet, are what gives us knowledge and understanding to follow the trail of the serpent from Genesis all the way through the Bible, finishing up in Revelations, where we are at right now. Brother Brown taught us in the book of Revelations is a book of symbols. And without understanding the symbols, we can never understand what is in that book. And to not understand the characteristics and attributes of Satan, we could never see him in Scripture without those, because he's invisible. But we see how he does, the effects he lays upon these people, the effects he laid over here. We can see, well, that's the same attributes that he had back in the garden. All right? Now, I have my ideas on it. But to answer your question on the trail of the serpent, I do not feel led to teach on it because I'm waiting for Brother Branham to come back and teach it in the tent. He said 8 times in the last month that he lived, you wait till I preach the trail of the serpent. So I'm going to wait. All right? Now, I have my ideas on it, and I can follow the trail of the serpent from the beginning when he left heaven and see him right and see him make his presence known as he comes in and out of Scripture all the way from Genesis through the book of Revelations. But since Brother Ram intended on preaching the trail of the serpent, I believe he will do it when he goes between the lines in the resurrection meeting. So in closing, let me just read a few things what he said on that. All right. In the sermon that we're studying at present, Satan's Eden, Brother Ram says, now tonight we want to go to the Scripture and read a portion of the Scripture out of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and just refer back a little bit to some things that we've been talking about in times past and see if the Lord Jesus will give us a little bit more to what we will know when we go out. I pray that he will. Now, the serpent was more subtle, I mean smart, intelligent, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, God hath said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruits of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not touch it, neither shall you, or you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it unto her husband, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now, as Brother Brown said, now notice here, they knew that they're naked. Well, how would they know that they're naked from eating an apple? They knew that they were naked because they knew something was there that they had looked at maybe 1,000 times and never recognized until the thing happened. Okay? Then he says, may the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. Now, he brought forth his great Eden that they now live in, a church world's Eden. They're all uniting together now at the great ecumenical council and going to have the world church all coming under one head where Satan will be enthroned just exactly. And the last call is going out to catch the bride before she gets into that. For once in that, she's took the mark of the beast and doomed. She'll never come out of it. That's the reason it said, come out of come out from among them, my people, before it goes into him. See, come out from among them and be separated. But notice now, look at the Revelation 3, the Laodicean church age. You think in your mind, notice, see, she, Eve, is Satan's queen. See, Satan, the serpent, got to Eve before Adam got to her. That's right. So he beguiled her. So Satan, the serpent, was the husband of Eve before Adam ever knew. See, he beguiled her. The Bible said that he did, and she knew that she was naked. Now remember, Jesus also, Paul, the Apostle Paul says, you know, that I would that you that I could introduce you to Christ as a chaste virgin. But he says, but as the serpent beguiled Eve, the word even in the Greek, beguiled, means seduced. All right? Serpent sees no mystery. All right, from power of transformation, he says there's always twins. Now, that's the reason, don't forget this little flock, the church in the last days is going to be twins, so close that it would deceive the very elected, Matthew 24:24. See, the church is going to, it's a Pentecostal move, it's so much like the real thing, till it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. And a little later on, if I get the chance, I want to explain that, how that election comes. See, it's going to deceive them because it's almost the same thing. See, just two fathers, that's all. Same mother, same church, same movement. That's the message. Same thing. The betting ground is the same where the word falls, but one of them, like here, is perverted. You understand? Say amen if you see it. See, one of them is a perversion because it's the wrong father. Which I will prove someday, if God will let me, that denomination is the mark of the beast. See, it's a wrong father. He's steering people to an organization instead of to the word. See, it's the wrong father. It's a Cain move. When I go home this time, I'm preaching on the subject, the trail of the serpent. The beast at the beginning and the beast at the end, and trail him right through the Bible and show how he heads up. See? And you all get that on the telephone, you see, if the Lord permits us to do it. Now, just watch how cunning that fellow is, how that he's just exactly his, and why they're just like Judas and Jesus were, both brothers in the same tribe, just like Esau and Jacob, and like the crow and the dove sitting on the same roost, and everything is a twin in this great warfare that we're in. Now, if you don't think we're in a warfare, you are so naive. You know, you're just so naive. Then you say, oh, you shouldn't mention message people. Listen very carefully, because I don't use names. But listen very carefully. And let me make this very, very clear. He said it's twins. The message is the word. He said, my ministry is to declare him that he is here. And anything outside of that is not the message. The message is understanding of God's presence is here. If they do not believe that, they are not in the message. They are imposters. They are a church. They're twins. If they do not preach the appearing before the coming, they have no clue what the message is. That is why the foolish virgin missed the marriage. They were looking for the vessel, which is the coming, and missed the appearing of the bridegroom, which is God, the Word. When Brian goes on to say, the enemy uses deception like he did to Eve. Oh, God has said surely, but surely, see, trying to reason it beyond what God said originally, thou shalt die. He said, yes, God said that, but surely, see, that's spray over it, see. But what God says, God keeps. He don't need any help from Satan. He keeps it, so don't never be deceived by that. Now we notice then that it brought forth of its kind. Now in Genesis here, we find out after the spraying of this poison of knowledge, now, science is knowledge, and all we hear is science, 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 science. Believe the science, you know. The great subject in the school, science. Today, a better automobile, a better this, better that, better home, better this, or better that. What are we doing? Dying all the time. Create an automobile, we quit walking. Quit walking, we turn to blubber. Well, we don't have men anymore. We have jellyfish, that's right. That's where your science takes you. From I have heard, now I see, he says, to you in New York, and you that are up around in Ohio, that's us, and different places, soon I want to preach the message of the trail of the serpent, the beast at the beginning, the beast at the end, at the tabernacle. Billy will send you a note for that when we're going to speak of it, because I do that in the tabernacle because it'll be at least be 4 hours or more long. I'm hoping to be there, and I'm going to send Billy a notice I'm going to say, Brother Billy, here's a quote, Brother Brown, so those people up in Ohio, I'm in Ohio, please send me the invitation when it comes. All right. From God's only provided place of worship, but because it wasn't associated in her own organization, she didn't even want to hear it or have nothing to do with it. If that ain't a Pharisee, I never seen one that was. Wait till you hear the trail of the serpent. That's all right. Now, think now that their denomination is the only one that registers with God. God won't hear you unless you're a Methodist or a Baptist or Trinity or Oneness or something like that. That's wrong. And for modern events, made clear by prophecy, he says, and you can be ever so sincere, but until you know what you're doing, you're fighting at the air. Come back into the Word of God and get lined up and then go, and then you know. And these modern events are slipping by us too swiftly. And one day we're going to find out that we'll be left behind without nothing and be caught, sealed into the mark of the beast before we even know it. Now, and with patience, we have to wait for this. For the prophecies as promised, every one of them must be fulfilled in this age. For it foretells us the author has before done this, and we wait to see him do it again. And I'm going to preach the trail of the serpent. And listen to it if you take the tapes and notice they missed seeing the confirmation of the prophecies of God's word being fulfilled. And if those priests, if they had fixed it up just exactly the way Messiah was going to come, they know what was going to take place. And the Pharisees had their ideas, the Sadducees, Herodians, and all. They had their ideas, but he come contrary to every one of them, but exactly with the word. Jesus said the same thing was here. If that isn't just like we see today, they do not understand the appearing of Christ is before the coming, and they're so fixed on the coming that they're missing him. If you would have known me, you would have known my day. That's what Jesus said. I'm reading Jesus here. If you had known, if you'd have known, you say, well, Moses, we have Moses said, why, if you hadn't believed Moses, you'd have believed me because he wrote to me. Oh, we got William Branham, but you don't believe what he said. But see, when God was confirming exactly what he promised, they had it in some kind of a dignified way that Jesus was supposed to come, and I mean the Messiah. The Messiah had to come right to their group, or he wasn't Messiah. Well, it's that way almost today. If you don't see through my glasses, you're not looking at all. See? And so that's just the way it is. That's the truth. We hate to think that, but it's exactly, absolutely the truth. Again, from leadership. Notice all these dates. You know, December here. A businessman sitting here telling me here in California the church has to tell the labor union what to do. See, it's coming church and state again. It's right on you. You see, you're right in there, and you take the mark of the beast not knowing it. If you ever bought one of my tapes, get this tape here, and I'm just going to stop. I want to read this again. A businessman sitting here telling me right here in California that the church has to tell the labor union what to do. And the church is telling the politicians what to do. And the church is telling the governments what to do. And then what? Then they're telling you what to do. So what are you listening to? You're listening to the church. That's right. The Catholic Church. She's running it all. That's what Nicolaitanism does. It filters down from the big old Pope to the Cardinal, from the Cardinal to the Archbishop, to the Archbishop, to the Bishop, from the Bishop to the priest to the brothers and the nuns and whatever. There's all a hierarchy, and we got it right in this message. Right in the message. Papa so-and-so. You heard those words before? Papa so-and-so. You know, Papa is Pope. You know what Pope is? It means Papa. That's right. Jesus said, call no man Papa. Call no man Pope. Call no man Papa. See? Now. He said, it's right on you. You see, you're right in there, and you take the mark of the beast, not even knowing it. What is it? Nicolaitan spirit rides in the white horse, on the red horse, same spirit on the black horse and on the brindle, which is in political, in religion, and national. It's all about the hierarchy. This message is not message. The people that call themselves the message, it's infiltrated and it's everywhere. And you know what it is? People that bow down to that, they got the mark. Don't even know it. They got the mark. If you ever bought one of my tapes, get this when I get home, when I get home, the trail of the serpent. And you see where it's at. See where this ends up at. Going home now to speak, if the Lord willing, it's about 4 hours, so I couldn't keep it at one of the meetings like this. I have to go up there where the church suffers me so long, patiently. All right, from trying to do God a service, and 11:27, about less than a month before he died. No, I don't mean that you do not. I don't mean for you not to go to your church. Go to your church, what you're supposed to do, but just don't join up with them organizations. Because one day I'll tell you and prove it by the scriptures. It is the mark of the beast, and you just remember it's the mark. So write in this message, not in the message. Excuse me. Write it amongst the denomination called the message. You've got the mark. I'm preaching. I wouldn't be preaching in Brother Jack's church. He let me go ahead and do it. But I'm going to the tabernacle. It'll be about 4 hours long. And my subject is the beast at the beginning and the beast at the end through the trail of the serpent. See, takes about 4 hours. I got my scriptures all laying out. The beast from the beginning, he was the beast at the Garden of Eden. He's the beast at the end and shows that he's a religious person and a denomination that made that denomination and come right through the trail of it and prove it to you by the scriptures that it is. I didn't know that till the Holy Spirit gave it to me the other day up there. And so what is a denomination? Well, you know, denomination of money is dollars, nickels, dimes. It's a value, right? It's a value. That's what a denomination is, a value. So it's a prescribed value. Well, you either have the dokes of God, which is the values and judgments and opinions of God, or you got man's values. So your denomination is your organizational filter. It's your values that you assign. That's all denomination is. You can have denominations right amongst people that claim to follow a vindicated prophet. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we know that your prophet said the message would never denominate, because the message is that you are here. It's about you. It's all about you. You are the Word. We're married to you, the Word. That cannot denominate, but everything else under the sun can. And we've seen it and are witnessing it. So, Father, we pray that you would just deliver your children everywhere. Those that are listening, those that are here, those that couldn't be here, Father, we just pray. We pray for your children all over the world, that they would completely stay away from that Nicolaitan spirit. And when someone tries to oversee them or overrule them, may they just say, but the Word also says, as your Son Jesus gave us the pattern, for he is the pattern for all sons. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, do you love him? Amen. We sure do. All right. The words are hard, but they're true. And I don't really care too much for being too nice. I mean, you know, the Bible says be gentle, and I think my words are gentle, but they're hard, brother, sister, and because it affects all of us. And but he didn't promise us the things would be easy. He said, when Israel crossed over the river Jordan, or crossed over the river of the Red Sea, he said, that's when the war began. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, that's when the battle begins. So God bless you. And until we meet again, let's just sing that song. Till we meet, till we meet. Till we meet.